Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of my soon-to-be-released book, The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love. And I am delighted to have Annemiek Dow as a wonderful guest today, author of 21 Layers of the Soul, Healing the Karmic Ties, and we both offer a clear view and perspective of who we are as spiritual and human beings capable of living in health and balance. Hello, Annemiek.
Hi, Cheryl. Very nice to meet you.
And you too. And thank you for joining us from the Netherlands to share your spiritual and cultural impressions of true healing and evolution from the unique description that you give of the soul and the many layers of information and karmic connections, which, when understood, can be transformed. As listeners of Healing From Within know, each show attempts to arm us with a greater arsenal of tools and an understanding of our complex human existence as energetic and physical beings. It is only through self-investigation and greater awareness of the people and events in our lives that we begin to understand the hereditary and karmic influences that affect our health, our decisions, and how we can expand to greater consciousness for healing on all levels. In today's show, you and I will discuss the soul and the 21 layers that you have explored in depth, and your approach, which is a very new approach, to peel away what is a blockage or limitation to our next level of self-discovery. Now, as an intuitive Reiki energy practitioner and medium, I have studied many healing modalities, including Reiki, reflexology, cranial sacral hypnotherapy, and etc. But in over 100 case studies that you give during 15 years of healing work, you are sharing something I have not come across before. And you call it the 21 layers of the aura or energy field that helpers in spirit have shown you and which surrounds each of us and can provide us with a clear blueprint of the reasons we choose a physical life in the first place. That's just amazing, really amazing, because that's what we all want to know. We all want to know who we are, why we're here, and how we can make this time in this wonderful place in this life better. So now, Annemiek, you originally worked in the business world, as I did, before you discovered there is much more to heaven and earth and to us as human and spiritual beings than what you can physically put your hands on. How and when did you move forward in your quest to find your own place in society using your unique gifts?
Well, at 29, I discovered I'm paranormal, in fact, I was an engineer. I worked, as you said, in a major corporation. Then I found out that I was paranormal, and I thought, wow, I have to study again because I don't know anything about it. And I was working with a lot of people, and I could read them like I read their journals. So I thought it would be unethical to just use it. And just having the information, I thought it's like cheating, because if they wanted me to know, they would have told me something like that. So I started to study again and became a paranormal therapist. And then a couple of years later, I fell ill myself for a couple of years. And I was so severely ill that I learned to talk to angels and to my guides because I couldn't block them anymore. Before that, I had so much energy and I was so stubborn, I guess, that I still wanted to do it by myself. And I thought, I have to do it myself, by myself, all by myself. And then I couldn't block them anymore. So they started to talk to me and I started to listen.
A lot of people are being, let's say, approached, like we are approached by people in our lives, but sometimes we're not paying attention. Now, you say you became aware at 29. Did you have any childhood experiences that might have been of the paranormal type?
In retrospect, yes, I had, but I then didn't realize it. I thought it was coincidence or just luck.
I had the same thing as a child. I was very sensitive. I'm empathic. I was picking up everyone's feelings. I was anxious and I was crying because I couldn't understand why people behaved the way they did. They were sometimes inappropriate, and I was sensitive enough and smart enough to know the difference. So, yes, we did have this gift when we were children.
And to be honest, I didn't check how the rest of the world thought or felt. I just thought it was normal. So it's like seeing auras. You don't ask your neighbor, oh, do you see auras as well? Because to you, it's normal.
It's so, like, I'll give you an example. When I was in school one day, the teacher asked a question, and I was always so anxious to do a good job. And so I raised my hand, but I didn't wait for her to call. And she said to me, Cheryl, how could you give me the answer? I didn't finish the question.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't understand what I did. She was angry at me. But you see, there are many children like that, functioning faster than other children because they do have this intuitive gift. Yeah.
Yes, and then I had a smart brain as well, so I thought it was just that.
Me too.
And it was a combination, I guess.
It's a combination of your intelligence and your intuitive nature. And then it's also a combination of following those gut instincts. Now, I was doing that almost all my life, but I thought those thoughts were my own. I didn't know they were coming from a higher energy. I didn't have any belief at the time in angels or an afterlife. I was not raised that way.
To be honest, I was very disappointed in a way when they started to talk to me, because then I thought, well, all the smart things I used to think, was it really me or did it just plant it in my brain? I was really disappointed in myself.
A little bit of both, I think. I think a little bit what you desired to create and manifest, and what they knew you were here in your life plan to do, that they would help you with. I think it's both. But, you know, you go on. The story you give in the book, you say that there was a physical therapist, and his name was John, and you were having a problem with your ankle. And he went on to tell you that the human body at the cellular level has a memory of its own. And when we notice a stomach ache after a nasty remark, or we have pain in our shoulders because of difficult discussions, it means something may not be working best in terms of friendship or work or places. And I don't know if you were aware of that at the time. But what did you start to do after John told you what you had to do to heal your ankle?
Well, I started to read a book from the doctor who wrote about it. And then I immediately inscribed for a course in his center for healing and started to do biogenetic,
bioenergetic?
Exercise. Yes, that's the word, bioenergetic. Sorry, it's really late here. bioenergetical exercises and things like that. And I started to listen to my body instead of disconnecting the part which hurt. I was really used to disconnecting, and then I started to embrace it. And
most people disconnect or go into denial because there's only two things that rule us in this world, and that is fear and love. And when we have something that we don't understand at the moment, or we don't think other people will understand, we go into a fear mode, and that doesn't serve us ultimately. But what is bioenergetics for our listeners?
Well, it's a way of doing exercises. So if your leg is tense, you do exercises to relax the leg. You do exercises to put pressure on the muscle and then relax it. And then with the relaxation, you let go of the tension and the origin of the tension. So if it was emotional, the emotion comes out as well. So it's a way of clearing the emotions and the thoughts that were combined with it in your body.
We're really releasing things at the cellular level. The exercises are a way of moving blockages or energy, which is what I do with Reiki, with energy healing, and many other body modalities, or doing the same thing. And they're doing it whether the practitioner is aware of it or not. Some practitioners think they're just working with a technique, but we're all connected to this universal energy, and any healing method really taps into it one way or another. So let's go on to reincarnation. You decided you believed in reincarnation. Tell us how this idea became of interest to you and what your definition of reincarnation is.
Well, this was really strange. I went to the center I told you about, and there I met a man. His name is Jan in Dutch. And I saw him, and I thought, oh, there you are, finally. And at the same time, I knew I never met him before in this life. So I was looking at him and I thought,
but
what?
You knew him. You knew him. You felt comfortable.
I just knew him from my heart. I was so happy to see him. And later I talked to him and he had the same reaction to me. So we looked at each other and thought, well, you can't hug someone you never met before it was really strange.
In your culture, perhaps, it's not as appropriate to do that. But here, I've learned as a healer, I now embrace people, and sometimes they do look at me like I'm a little strange, because in New York City, where I live, they're also a little distant and want to keep their boundaries. But sometimes a hug,
yes,
a smile, a word, an expression of love is just so appropriate for everybody involved.
And nowadays, I just tell people, I think I'm going to hug you. Is that okay? And then they can say yes or no. So then it's something in between. But at that point in time, I didn't. I never hugged people because that wasn't me. I was in the business suit and working all day and using my head all day instead of using my body.
Me
and my
too. I was that type of child, and I was that type of grown up in business. And now we're giving out energy even when we're not touching anyone or embracing them. It's just coming from within us with all the creative methods of healing that we have been blessed to receive from higher spirit. Yes. Now, in reincarnation, it really means you live several lives. And as a soul, you incarnate so that you can be in a physical body and have more life experiences. I wholeheartedly believe this. I did not believe in reincarnation before I became involved in intuitive work and developing my mediumship abilities. I did not. I even believed that God was just a source of philosophical content of love to keep people dealing with death and hardships in their life. I wasn't even sure of that as a force. But now I know there is a universal force of creation and many helpers in many realms of dimensions of energy. And life is eternal, and we do survive physical death. So reincarnation makes good sense, because you can't learn enough in one life.
Most people don't know.
It's just not possible. There's so much to do and become. Mm-hmm. Now, you did say earlier you describe yourself as paranormal. What does that mean? Because many people have different concepts, and sometimes they even become a little afraid if they hear that extrasensory gifts or abilities or paranormal. And it's really a very natural extension of our evolution, and neuroplasticity is developing and discovering it is a sense of intelligence. So what can you say about that?
Well, my way of being paranormal is I feel in my body what other people feel. So if it's emotions, I feel their emotions, and I can put words to them. So sometimes I'm working with people who have problem expressing themselves, and I can express what they feel, and then they look at me like, oh, that's what I mean.
You're extremely clairsentient.
Yes.
And for our audience, let's just tell them clairsentient goes along with being empathic and being able to feel or sense another person's health conditions or emotional conditions. And people who have this gift have to learn how to work with it so that they're not overwhelmed. They do need to have boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. And to distinguish your own and feelings from the other ones, because sometimes you think that the other one's feelings are yours, and then you mix it up. And that was before I trained myself in working with it. And when I'm working in my practice, I can feel in my body what's happening in the client's body. So it's like using a computer aid, which helps you from a distance and can look at his screen and see what's happening on your PC. So it's like that. I use my body to know what to do in the aura of the client. And I hear a lot of things. I hear guides. I hear angels. I talk to deceased people. So I get information the other side. Well, I just know a lot of things. I look at the aura of someone and I can read it, so I can translate it into information and work with it. Sometimes put new information in.
That's the word that's important here, information. And as sensory beings, we are all receiving information through all our senses, and many, many of us have heightened, they will call it or could call it a sixth sense, but really mm-hmm. it's just a matter of tuning into the vibration of people both here on this planet and the vibration or energy of people not in a body. And we all are able, if we train and if we are lucky enough to surround ourselves with people who have an awareness of this, we can develop very nicely to use this. It's a gift to maneuver this world in the best way. It's like driving a car through a maze. And if you have all these sensors working well, you can have the easiest ride and the best life. And isn't that what we all hope for?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
I think so.
Now we're going on to something that's really serious, and you may or may not want to talk about it, but if you do, I have addressed this subject on many shows before. You say you realized that you may have been blocking feelings and emotions because mm-hmm. of a filter that you had to provide for yourself so you wouldn't mm-hmm. think about some harmful events from your early childhood. Can you tell mm-hmm. us about that?
Yes, of course. Otherwise, I wouldn't have written it down in a book. I was sexually abused as a child. I was 2 at the first time and 7 at when it happened for the second time, and I think 16 when it was happening for the third time. So it really was a plan for my life. I really had to go through it, and I really had to learn something from it. And I think I needed to go through it to deal with the pain and first to disconnect from everything just to survive. So that's how I discovered that my body has a surviving mode, and it's good. Well, later on I thought, wow, I did block it, so I was really terrible at coping with it. But no, your body helps you to come across it and then deal with it when it's time to deal with it. And if it's too much, if you're really small, it's too much to deal with it at once. So you make chunks of it, and when you're ready, you do the next one. And at 29, I started to go through it all, and all the memories came back, and all the nightmares, and all the horrible feelings. And that's why the body work was so important to me, because there was so much pain in my body.
And children do bury deep within them something that is painful for them to understand. I mean, people they're supposed to trust and who say they love them do something hurtful like that. Now, do you think this is a pretty common problem in your country? Yeah, I'm going to go on to say I have found it to be more prevalent than most people would like to admit to. And I'm doing a show shortly after this where the statistics mm-hmm. come up, which say it's about 1 in 5 boys and it's about 2 in 4 girls. Now, that's too much, isn't it?
It's a lot. And I was thinking about it, and then I thought, why does it happen, or why do we choose as a soul to go through these kind of abuse?
Yes.
Because it's
yes.
a way of growing and learning, if you want to look at it like that. On human perspective, it's horrible, of course. I felt it like that myself, and I really don't wish it for anyone. But on a soul level, it's a way, if you start to cope with it and start to feel your body again and start to heal yourself, it's a really a highway to healing. It's a fast track to really develop yourself and start nurturing yourself. And I think that's one of the things we need in society now, because we somehow lost connection to ourselves.
I agree. And you know what? You said in the book that there's a big difference between victim behavior, which is using or abusing a situation as a victim, as an excuse for your own misbehavior, or not taking responsibility for your life and not becoming a victim. In conclusion, you didn't become a victim. You took something that was very challenging and you made it a healing way of life for yourselves and for others. So you're right, it is a soul choice, and while I would not like to see it ever happen to anyone, because as an empath, I have also been with people and have felt what they went through, I just hope that people can raise up to a level where there will be more love, more understanding, and better parenting, and that's the goal that many of my shows do take.
Can I please add something? Because
sure.
It does happen. It does happen a lot. And I think the good news, if I may say it like that, is that you can overcome it. You can live through it, and you can leave it behind. It doesn't define who you are. It defined who you were, and you have all the tools within you. Just especially because if it's a soul choice, if you chose it beforehand, before you incarnated, you are brave enough and strong enough to overcome it and heal yourself and become a better person because of it.
You have a chance to forgive, has a chance for forgiveness, and that elevates the soul to a higher level when you can accept people the way they are, even though they are damaged and have created something hurtful that you never asked for. So yes, you became not a victim, but you became a survivor and a healer as a result. It was necessary in your process.
Yes, and helped me to read the auras and the traumas within it and to get the nuances between them and to do my work properly, because if you don't go through anything yourself, it's rather difficult to really heal, help people, other people heal, because you don't know what you're talking about.
I agree. I would say that most of the people who have written books about energy medicine, self-help, spirituality, scientists even, have had challenges in their childhood that have spurred them on to find the courage in their heart to do what their soul came here to do. And so nothing is bad. It is necessary for us to have these experiences. Now, we go on to the 21 layers of the soul and how exploring these layers give us information of why we've come here. Now, we can't do them all, but I do see that from layer 1 to 3, we want the people to know one is a physical layer, one is an emotional layer. The third one is a very important layer where all your thoughts reside, shows your mental side and what you are habitually thinking about and your limiting belief systems. So go on to tell us something about how the group go on to the next group of soul layers and how they really all sort of building on each other to correct things at one level so we can move on to a higher level, perhaps.
Well, I was thinking just pick some layers out, because if you go through them all, it's just naming them, and then you don't feel the energy. And the good thing about the layer and the book is that if you connect to the energy, you can start to heal yourself in that layer that you are connected to. So the aura is like an onion. It's layered. And the good thing about having a problem in the 12th layer, for example, the family karma layer, is that it has an impact on layer 1 to 11 as well, because, well, it encloses the other layers, 1 to 11. So if you can solve the blockage, you can solve the problem in 12 layers clear up, and on 12 themes in your life, things get better. And the 12th layer is the family karma layer, and that means that if you come to Earth, you choose your parents, you choose your siblings, and you make appointments because you want to experience things. And so you choose an arrogant father or a neglecting mother. Or
you say family energy in that layer has a defining nature. So you will either fit in with a family whose energy is best suited for your purposes, for what you're here to learn. You can be with a quiet, thoughtful group or a chaotic, loud, quarrelsome group. And this is not random. So, yes, I agree with you that all of that is selected. But you know what? Let's go back for a minute to layer 6, because if people get an idea of each layer is based on a certain activity or life experience that we're having. So layer 6 is where traumas on a personal level, or either in this life or from a past life, exist. This is where you say illogical emotions and sensations. People are interested in this very much so, of deja vu and fear of heights, fear of water, fear of being terrified of animals. You might like people the first time you see them or instantly dislike them because there's something in this layer that's very important for you to discover where your fears came from and that you're not really working on it in this life. So you might notice a fear, but then you might say to yourself, you know, I really not too much interested in having that fear here. I mean, yeah, mm-hmm. maybe when I was a child, I examined it for a little bit, but now I'm clear of it. So the good thing is, you say that you, there's nothing you have to work out with some of the people that you meet in your life. They just give you a little idea of where you've been and what you've moved past. So I thought that was very interesting.
That's an interesting. And I think it's good then to name, for example, the eighth layer, because there are soul agreements between two souls. If you have a blockage in layer six, there's a traumatic experience in an earlier life. So if you met a person from a previous life that hurt you then, and you still feel the hurt when you meet him now, you don't have to do anything about it if you know it's in the sixth layer. But if it's an eighth layer problem, then you know you have to do something in this life, because then you have a soul agreement for this life. So, well, for someone who's not used to working with the layers, it's a bit difficult in the beginning, but you can start to feel the energy of the layers. And if you ask yourself, okay, this person, do I really need to go see him and meet him and find out what's this all about? Or is it old news? Is it yesterday's newspaper, and can I just leave it behind? That's layer six. So it's in a way a very good way to distinguish where to put your energy in, because the first seven layers are all individual, or only you, and the other ones are all connected to other people, other souls. The level in which you grow and the impact of your growing is different in the higher layers than the first seven. And layer seven is also a very interesting one, because that's your life plan. So if something's going wrong there, you may be on the right path, but you can't move ahead. You can't move along. You just are stuck in a certain place because of one of the traumas you...
Yeah, I just think it's important that everyone moves through whatever challenges mm-hmm. in any layer they have, just like in the chakra system of the Reiki energy healing system. They relate mm-hmm. to different issues that a soul has, and as you work through it, you go to the higher levels. But I did like layer 21, and I just want to say this to our audience. Knowledge of the divine origin of all creatures. That's what layer 21 is. Knowing you are one with the source and have a divine essence, as do others, no matter how they behave. You experience love for all that is, exactly as it is. So it sort of goes back to any person who's been hurt or wounded in any way, the childhood experience that we discussed, or any other hurtful experience with anyone. When you get to this layer, you will know if you can do that, feel that, you will be really free. You will be really free of the traumas of the earth, and able to expand into a higher a level of evolution. So I really liked that layer. I hope more people are moving towards that, right?
It's growing in every layer, but sometimes you get blocked because it's too much or too difficult, and then you sometimes need some help. The book can help if you read it and start to resonate with the energy. You will feel which chapters really interest you, and then you know, okay, I'm working in that layer now. So it's a tool that can help you heal.
Oh, I'm glad you just said that. Yes, when people look at your book, they will be able to recognize some of their own transitions or what they would hope to transform, and then they can focus on ways to do that. And you also said they may need help. And yes, everyone needs a good friend, a psychotherapist, an energy worker, a family member. We all need a support team, and we can work through many of these issues when we have the right support team. So I want to thank you, Annemiek Dow, author of 21 Layers of the Soul, and for more information on this form of healing work and to purchase the book, go to 21layersofthesoul.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have discussed still another alternative energy modality called soul layers, practiced by Annemiek, that seeks to align the energetic soul presence to our human needs and our life goals, and to resolve and remove past concerns, issues, traumas, or life limitations by working at the soul level and raising up to a higher level of consciousness to universal energy. In the process, as in all healing work, we may release the hurts, scars, and wounds of this life and those lives before. All energy healing systems download the guidance and help from universal energy. In describing the conditions we might face, Anna Meek suggests and writes, and I agree with her, that conditions like ADHD, fear of the paranormal, being obstinate, depression, abuse, alcoholism, autism, insomnia, addiction, everyday aches and pains, relationship issues, almost anything a person goes through looks very different when viewed from the perspective that a soul is simply collecting experiences and as an eternal energy survives this time and place and survives death. Anna Meek writes, part of the game of life is that souls determine what they have come to do on earth and which choices they make. You as a human being, the earthly expression of your soul, determine a lot of the details by making daily choices and by deciding how you deal with everything you experience. But there are also things that are beyond your control. You don't exactly understand why or how, but you have to deal with them. That's life. Everything is written in God's hands, and all you can do is surrender to that great mystical power giving direction to our lives. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and with this thought of hope and trust in our hearts, as human beings intent on discovering more about our inner soul world and how to live our best life, I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, WebTalkRadio.net, and DreamVision7Radio.com to hear authors worldwide share their approaches, techniques, and programs for improving life and indeed our human condition. Thank you.